Resonant Truth presents Natural Time, Mayan Astrology for a Modern Age. I'm Lisa Starr. I was raised in the faith of the Mayan sacred calendars. These ancient cycles have been resurrected for a modern audience and called Natural Time, in part because our year of uneven month lengths is, by comparison, really unnatural. I am not here to lead any kind of revolt against the Gregorian calendar, but I do want to bring the Mayan alternative to light, and I want you to know about Mayan astrology, where the passage of time and your birthday within it has deep mystical and magical significance according to indigenous spirituality. I am passionate, I am transparent, and I am emotionally available, if not volatile. And that's because I'm a blue overtone storm. You can find out what you are at Resonant Truth. Today on the Zolk'in Count is called White Planetary Wizard, and it is the 10th day of the Red Serpent Wave Spell. And it is the Rhythmic Moon, day 12? 11? It's the second week of the Rhythmic Moon. It is day 11. And it's pretty obvious that it's the Rhythmic Moon to me, because all I do is just make sure I got every task covered and that I'm always busy, that I'm effective, that, yeah, it is. It's totally about creating a rhythm. And let me make this more interesting than just repeating the words of the tone itself. So what feels really right to me right now is that everything has its place and everything has its little time to be performed and everything is ordered, and that completely represents in my life experience the rhythmic tone, where it's not that I'm going to pick up the guitar and play, not this round, but that I can see that everything has its place and things are working together, and that my goal is that everything kind of fall in line like orchestral maneuvers, so that nothing is out of balance. Things are harmoniously, or at least uniformly, cohesively together moving forward. It's just a really helpful way to deal with my house project and maybe being in the details part of definitely the downhill side of a long project that isn't over. But just being in the rhythmic tone makes it possible to just like move from room to room or section to section of the project and do a sweep and stay. This is the other thing about the rhythmic tone, is the tenacity, the ability, even the agility to just stay with something rather than hopping off. I think the rhythmic tone is an internal demonstration of commitment to being constant. And then there are going to be all these outward manifestations, whether you're doing tasks or examining relationships, that we don't want disarray, disharmony, disorder now at all. Our goals are to get things not in line or boxed in, but just exactly as we would wish our internal organs to be, that they're steady, even, and consistent and powerful. The overtone tone that precedes the rhythmic tone is the power source, or it is the sort of explosive empowerment that we call radiance. But then that becomes, in order to sustain all that unleashed power, harness it, we create a cadence that we can work with that will keep us steady on the road. And the road is upward toward the source, the sun. We get there in the planetary tone, which is where we are in our 13-day Red Serpent Wave Spell. So I feel like forecasting, you know, that the Christmas holiday is always, it's always the same day, right? So it's always the same part of the rhythmic moon. The Christmas day is always the second to last day of the second week of the rhythmic moon. So right between Christmas and New Year's in the Gregorian calendar, we're in the third week in the West, and that's why it's probably pretty intense year after year, that there's a kind of ordered methodology to getting ourselves to Christmas Day, and then kind of a capitulation to that more emotional state and an accelerated place that happens in the third week when we're in the West. So that's the future. And right now we're in the North, and it's very North Pole. And spirit comes through in the solstice holiday. And, you know, we go in the North in the second week of every moon. And whenever we're in a white section of the medicine wheel, so also this white planetary wizard day, we're in the place of spirit, our spirits, and then the spirit world, where presumably divinity lies, and the afterlife, you know, the other world that isn't material. So the Red Serpent wave spell is at its peak today. A wave spell is 10 days of climbing up, one day of falling apart, capitulating to gravity and coming back to earth, and then a day of settling, maybe 2 days of settling from that disrupted climb. So we spend, you know, it's just exactly how we climb mountains, exactly how we drive through mountain passes on the freeway, where you go slow on the incline, and then in a way, it can be overwhelming how quickly moving back to earth or sea level in the other direction is. It's like, as a child, my father is a mountaineer, and you know, I came upon that lesson early, just like, well, this is a trippy experience after, you know, the climb up being such a demand on our bodies and time-consuming, slow going, a feeling of limitation exercised in every step, because there is this both gravitational force and just what it does to our muscles to move uphill. And then coming down, it's almost like your muscles are so loose that they're out of control. And there's an ebullience whilst also some kind of spiritual awakening that, wait, it took us all day to go up and it took us an hour to come down. For a child's mind, it's really educational, and, you know, it starts to set up some of the paradoxes of life. So we do that in the wave spell. We have a really slow beginning, moving against gravity in the beginning. I describe it as being under the sea, where the current starts that will create a wave, that it's turgid and dark, and we don't know what exactly the direction is. Maybe we're moving for the light. But when we get to the overtone tone, we break the surface of the ocean, and that's why it's so powerful and liberating and accelerating, because we're not water moving through water or water moving through air. And there is a force, a wind beneath our wings that is driving us upward, and it becomes less of a engaged work to understand, you know, how we're going to rise, as just being harnessed by the power of the rising force. And we go from the overtone tone to the planetary tone in that fashion, just sort of managing intense outer forces that are now inside us as well. And we get to the planetary tone, we have two experiences. One is this ultimate arrival. Like, conceptually, we don't know in the beginning of the planetary day or the planetary moon that it is the end of our rising. It feels instead like we have all this force and recent history of rising behind us. And so we are going to go. We're going to go all the way. And in fact, that's a perfect description of the solar tone that precedes the planetary, that we're just aiming for the sun. We're like rays of light ourselves. We're becoming one with that source, that Godhead. And then the planetary tone is the moment when that is capped. So it's kind of, I can't figure out which car maneuver we do, where you just go from being really fast to suddenly like, no more fast, it's over. Time to go slow. And in fact, time to go back to where you came from, because that's exactly what happens in the planetary tone. The solar tone is about being one with the sun and the sky. And the planetary tone is about being one with the planet. And it comes right after the one about the sun. So it's a complete abrupt reversal. And it is such a snap of reverse tension that it creates on the spectral day, the spectral tone, a chaos, just chaos. I mean, graphically, I guess it's like driving into a wall. It isn't like that. I mean, that's not natural. That's not natural time. Rather, what happens when our wave is rising and its force seems to be destined to take us all the way to the top of the galaxy, the center, out of the atmosphere, sort of slowly, we've been facing gravitational forces. And so it isn't like hitting a wall. That's a false example, analogy. Instead, it is like slowly losing, you know, the surge of power that we thought we could take all the way to the biggest star. Instead, we are diminished. And when it comes to the planetary tone, we're diminished finally at the point where it's just capitulation. Like, I don't have enough force to break this gravitational resistance that really is meant to keep me on Earth. And it's different every wave spell, whether we're counting 13-day wave spells or 13 moon wave spells or 13 years. And it's different from each of those. Each 13-day wave spell will have a different feeling or sense of how far out into the ethers we skyrocketed before we ran out of steam and gravity won. It's not going to always be, you know, exactly at 8,000 feet elevation, we no longer can escape the atmosphere. I mean, that might be true in science, but here in mysticism, some wave spells seem to take us higher than others. With the red serpent, I just want to go into this analogy of the snake itself and how it can, of course, never fly, but almost more than a human body, it can rise up. I mean, its natural state is sort of lying on the ground. Our natural state is walking around. We really can't lift ourselves up higher than that. I mean, this is how a snake ambulates. This is how we do. We can't, I mean, we build things and absolutely can climb mountains and so forth. But like a snake can go from its natural way of moving across the earth. It can lift itself up so high in this picture, you know, of a snake coiled and springing the rest of its body toward the sky. And the snake dance, the undulating, mesmerizing snake dance that happens. So I, you know, I'm always critical of this time in the sense that I'm like, I dissect it and be like, this is when you're in the lower part of your brain, your instinct kicks in. Base instincts include fear and survival appetites around food and sex, procreation, and against death. And we become really fixated and full of charged reactivity because we're in our instinctual mode. And I talk also about Red Serpent portals being this super impactful growth experience where we hit our old material for the last time before we slough it off, which would be the picture of having a snake skin be cracking and dry and something we need to shed. So shedding what used to be novel, new, our greatest, our skin that was everything we showed the world, and kind of the suit we had to travel in for a while, as if we were given an assignment, and now we're letting all that go, which is a process, and it can be strange to be back looking at something old and uncomfortable. It can feel like, oh, it's return, but it's returning for the last time. So that's another angle on Red Serpent. And then I like to talk about, I like to talk about the experience of how sensitized we are on our skin and unboundaried we are without an exoskeleton, so that intimacy, sexuality, skin on skin becomes riveting. It's a physical feeling of being completely alive to sensitivity around touch. And it doesn't mean it's like a more loving or, generosity isn't part of what I'm describing when I'm talking about intimacy. Like, it's not a heart opened outpouring, although it could be. Along the way, we hit white rhythmic dog, etc., the day within the wave spell, but rather that we're just so alive in our skin because we're snakes. So all of those things may be happening for you, any of them, an array, but at the same time, I'm learning this wave spell because I'm having a really different experience than usual. There's not much suffering that a snake can get pretty high as well. In fact, higher than a human can without some kind of external help or mood alterant. That a snake has all this base instinct and all this limitation physically, but has evolved to still find a way to get their head in the sky. So if I shift my attention to the day, White Planetary Wizard is the second to last portal of our 10 portal days. So that means we have 8 portals behind us. The portals have not been shocking and awakening to me. I'm sorry. I think it's because I live a mundane life, Groundhog Day, repetitive life. And so I'm not being able to pick out the portals that are happening in relationships or in encounters in the world, even the workplace. It's all pretty insular here. Doesn't mean I haven't been having pivotal experiences within my repetitive lifestyle, my rhythmic lifestyle, but they're not jumping out as super illustrative of what the portal experience usually is or can be, likely is, which is that every day has kind of a revelatory moment where you're able to say, well, that was a portal. I did conversationally, I can't remember what it was, but I told someone like, yeah, that was a portal. There was a portal there for sure. Just talking about the last week or so that I had been able to traverse something to get through. I'll probably remember in a minute. But the portals have been for 8 days and we have 2 more to go. And I don't think they do a big, the biggest portals are at the end. I think it's almost the opposite, that the biggest portals are in the beginning when we make this adjustment to having opening in our life. And by the end, we're really comfortable with opening, almost expectant of it. Like, well, this will be a portal day. Our bodies sort of know, our souls. And then it can be, I think, the opposite. By the time we get to Yellow Crystal Warrior, which happens to be Christmas, we no longer have a portal and we might feel that instead. That might be more like crashing into the wall, because that's the whole mystique is that right now we have doors where walls have been, and then we just go back to having walls. White Planetary Wizard is John Lennon's Mayan birthday. I probably have mentioned that. If you're an older listener, you know that a few of the days I pick out, and I mean, I either remember them, they're like not particularly celebratory, but super memorable, cultural, historic people that I grew up thinking were demigods, being told that by my parents, my parent. So I can always pick out this day, White Planetary Wizard, a portal day in the Red Serpent Wave Spells, John Lennon's Mayan birthday. And then I think it is increasingly interesting and super timely since the Beatles are having their renaissance right now. I mean, not that they ever kind of went out of style, but I feel that when I heard that there was a new documentary, which I haven't seen, but I sort of saving it, I was like, oh my God, I am ready to fall back in love with the Beatles again. Of course, I sat around as a kid and had solace with a lot of musicians on the turntable in my home alone, my mother's collection of records, my dad's in another home, kind of a different collection, certainly crossover with the Beatles, but at my mom's house, listening to the Beatles on my own as if it were made for children, and also the trippiness of it, the mystical journey of it. And I think in particular of Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band, and knowing every word and looking at the album covers in the olden days and reading every lyric along. And so that it was almost like a biblical, like the church where you can follow along with your book. And so I was imbued really early with reverence for the Beatles. I mean, a lot of us were in my age range. And then I just got sick of it because it's music, and not sick of it like, yeah, but just like, well, no, I want to hear something else. And that's how I've been for a long time. I got rid of all my Beatles CDs in a bunch at a certain time and looked forward. So anyway, I talk about the day and John Lennon, and partly because he was murdered, and that was a huge thing to witness in my mother's generation, in our community, the pain and anguish that brought. And, you know, one of my first understandings of death as a cultural odyssey. But I don't ever talk about Kurt Cobain's Mayan birthday. And I think it was a similar kind of extinguishing of a flame that affected a lot of people. John Lennon seems to have such a giant psyche that knowing that he was a White Planetary Wizard makes perfect sense and becomes really interesting to revisit. That he was a portal and he was a white wizard, a shaman, and that in fact, you know, he was really oriented. When we say planetary, it is concerns of the planet. And I don't mean just the ecology of the planet, but that he couldn't necessarily get lost out in space, you know. Instead, the space he was exploring was the space right here on Earth. And I, you know, I don't want to get into a huge monologue here about his relationship with other Beatles or his, you know, deceased parent or any of it, all the specifics, the kind of celebrity gossip piece of it. But it just seems really true that he was exploring outer space in the space here on Earth, both between people, like devoid of people, the space that lives between each other's bodies where we don't stand. He was like exploring the spaciousness around us with his ideas and music, the other. And then he was also exploring his relationships with other people, and I would think most specifically his wife and maybe his son in his last album. Planetary manifestation, the physical side of life was part of his shamanic talent, his wizardry. So the last thing that lots of you know, but if you don't know this, it's always worth telling, is that Every member of the Beatles, all four of them, were born on portal days, different wave spells, but they were all portals. And that little magic piece of knowledge used to be so like unsurprising. Like, oh, that makes sense. They're each portals. And that's cool that they're all portals. And there's such a finite band without members coming and going, really, that it makes it even more exciting. Like they were just this complete set of four portals. But, you know, it is, I dare you, I don't know how we would do the math, find another band that was that finite, a foursome. Even find three people that were in a trio who are all portals. I mean, do it. I'm not saying it doesn't exist, but it is really, really rare. It's very rarefied, and it makes a lot of sense why they had such an incredible volatility and, cultural capability of being transformative. Portals, they were gateways, they were doorways, and it was just like one door after another, which fit with the time perfectly, just like the prism, the funhouse mirrors of doors, and where they lead, but just being caught in that enchantment. And enchantment is one of the words for today. So it's the manifestation of enchantment. It is the peak of this red serpent's, lifting its head up toward the sky. And then we all fall down tomorrow. Blue spectral eagle, even though we take flight as an eagle, we're just going to cruise back to the nest. We're going downward. And it will be our last portal day, and it will be Christmas Eve. And so I think you're kind of prepared moving forward. I could say that just Christmas being yellow crystal warrior, the elements of yellow warrior that are base, not very evolved, are fighting. And there could be a fight in your Christmas experience. But there is also, a way of saying that yellow warrior is really just about in being prepared for fighting, which makes you very, very strong, very focused, very disciplined. And so if anything, yellow crystal warrior could be this gathering of people that are sort of unified in the way the military is at times, I guess, hopefully a lot, where you have a band of people that are all trained similarly, equally toward the same end. And so your yellow crystal warrior Christmas experience could feel like being on the same side of a fight for our survival. Crystal day does reflect on the wave spell, and the red serpent wave spell is at heart about survival. When I talked about my rhythmic tasks in my endless remodel, what I really felt from the red serpent influence is like, I'm going to do what it takes to survive. We're in a 7-8 day rain pattern here, relentless rain, not the worst kind with all the wind and the floods, but I have been combating water getting in this house for the first rains of this year. And I'll let you know because it'll be foremost on my mind. But so far, the water isn't in the house. And it's because I did all this survivalistic, fixated activity in order to just handle that one survival point. Like, how do I keep the water out of this house? It included like plastic sheeting over leaky doors and, so things that aren't completely resolve, but like over my dead body, are we going to have the discomfort and destruction of rain in here again? I mean, it actually didn't feel like an angry motivation. The red serpent time to me is powerfully potent, rather than emotionally reactive. It's just like, I will survive. I am fiercely dedicated to that end. And it's not a bunch of thoughts of complexity. It's driven, fixated, focused, intent. And, I love that. It's been helpful. So when we're in yellow crystal warrior, to some degree, we're meant to gather on a crystal day. So how perfect if you are jammed into a family band, because that's a great innate reflective moment with the crystal tone. And then, you know, we're always reflecting, I think, backward in noticing how this way of spell was for us in the crystal day. So you might be sitting around talking about, you know, recent survival stories, but also just the gestalt of all of us surviving the story of our human species right now. Okay, the music's here. I am Lisa Starr. I am another yourself. And in Mayan, we say, in Lakesh.